Good morning, everyone. First, I'd like to thank Start Your Day for hosting this series by Code of the Honours. I hope it's proven interesting, and I hope I don't back the trend. I'd like to speak about the title of the Shia today is Dilemmas of War. War. Milchama. There's a, you know, unfortunately we're in this war, and the Mitzvah Shemim, it should be finished soon, outside the Yesetayv. And there's a certain shyness that not necessarily arise, but one can approach certain situations with a halachic outlook and see where it takes us. So we're going to pose a few scenarios and the halachas that arise from the scenarios, and of course it's with a very important hakdama that especially in such situations, even the minus detail, the most smallest detail, the most minor detail can change the whole sack of the halacha. So we're going to put forward a few scenarios and we'll see where the halacha takes us. We'll see where we get to. So in the first days of the war, there was when the kibbutzim were infiltrated by the terrorists, so there were situations where there was pitched battles between the terrorists and the soldiers, and there was a lot of damage going on to the houses of the kibbutzim. And there's really two situations where it happened. It could be that there was terrorists hiding out in a house and the Jews were shelling the house to kill the terrorists. Or, faket, there was soldiers hiding out in a house, protecting themselves from the terrorists, and the terrorists were firing on the house to kill the Yidden, the soldiers. And the houses did not go through this whole story unscathed, so who has to pay for the damage? That's the Choshen Mishpot, one of the Choshen Mishpot quest angles of the Shaila. So, there's two interesting points of view that meet over here, because we know there's nothing greater than saving Yid's life. Yeah? All the mitzvahs get pushed away. Mitzad sheni, what's incumbent upon a person in relation to another person's assets, being protected of them, damaging them, there's a very, very high demand from a person that he be very careful about another's assets. Yeah? If I have a donkey which is walking in the street and damages another's assets by way of walking, a regal, and potter, it's the regular way you can person. A donkey walks, it damages things, it steps on things. So if you put your clay in the street, it steps on things. The duty of care that's demanded from a person is much, much higher. Right? Adam mu'ud la'olam. A person who damages is considered as if he's always deliberately damaged. As if he deliberately damaged. It doesn't matter if you went to sleep and someone put a clay there. Same according to Ramban, if you go to sleep and someone comes along later on, not according to Ramban, but if you're walking on a roof, and a wind comes like Sa'oras Eliyo, like the wind that took Eliyo up to Shamayim, and it blows you off the roof, and you land on someone's car, and Baruch Hashem you're saved because the car broke your fall, but you damaged the person's car, according to Ramban, you're obliged to pay. According to others, that's called an onus gomer, it's totally out of your control. But definitely the duty of care that's demanded from a person in relationship to another one's assets is very, very high. So, when you have a meeting point between these two points of view, on the one hand, you want to save someone's life, on the other hand, you don't want to damage anyone. So, for instance, if you've got a terrorist hiding out in a house, and the only way to kill the terrorist is to blow up the house, so you're saving people's lives by killing the terrorists. On the other hand, you're damaging someone's assets by blowing up his house. So how do the two viewpoints merge and meet? So there's a story. As always, we look to the Makaris, we look to Ovis HaOlam, we look for the in Chazal, where they point us out. There's a story in Shmuel. It appears in Shmuel and Divrei Yomim, Dovid HaMelech. David the Melech fought many battles against the Plishtim. And the Pasuk says, it appears in a slightly different version, it appears in Shmuel, and it appears in a slightly different version in Divrei HaYomim. Vayisavet David had a taiv, he had a desire. Vayomer, and he said, Miyashkeni Maim, mi boir beislechem asher bashar. Who's going to give me water from the well, which is by the gate? Vayivku ushleshes hakiboirim. David had three giboirim, three heroes, three strong soldiers. They broke through. It seems like they were under siege. They broke through. And they drew water from the well which was at the gate. And they brought it to David. It seems a bit strange that David, in the middle of a pitched battle, should suddenly have this burning desire to drink some water from a certain well which was in Beis Lechem, where the battle was taking. Ad kedei kach, that the three Giborim had to go and fight through to give him this water. Sorry? Oh, yeah, so that's it. So David's taiva was not for Maim, David's taiva was for Torah. In Maim Ela Torah. And David had a shaila. He had a shaila, he needed the pasuk in the shaila, so he asked who is Giborim is going to go to the Sanhedrin to get the answer to the shaila. What was the shaila? There's three versions in the Gemara. We're going to focus on one of the versions. The Gemara in Baba Kamadav Samachon Bey says, what was his shaila? Rav Huna Omar, Rav Huna says, Gedishim Desoirim De Yisrael Haya. There was these piles of barley that belonged to a Yid. The Havumitam were Plishtim Hu. The Plishtim were hiding inside these piles of barley. The Komi Boyele, and David's Shaila was, Mahu Lehatzel Atzmei B'Maman Chaveiroi. Can I save myself with another's money? I.e., he wanted to burn the piles of grain, and by burning the piles of grain, the plishtim would evaporate, quite literally. So he wanted to not do that. Can he do it? So the yid who owns these piles of grain is going to take a hit. Yeah, his grain is going to get burnt. Is he allowed to do it? Shol chuleis, they said to him, Oso lahatzel atzmei b'maman chaveiroi. One is not allowed to save, literally, it's one is not allowed to save oneself with another's money. Avol, nevertheless, atom melech, you're a king. Umelech, beretz keder. A melech has different halachas. Tov, the melech was a melech, he was a king, and a king has different halachas. But what do we see from here? That if he wouldn't have been a king, it seems from the Gemara, that he wouldn't have been allowed to burn grain. Okay, so now let's put ourselves in David's place. With a bit more modern terms. Yes? You're sitting in the middle of a battle. And you see that there's terrorists hiding in a house. And they're firing at you. With guns, with rockets, with mortars, whatever you want. And you want to kill them, because they're trying to kill you. But if you fire anything at them, you're going to break the fellow's window. Which costs 150 shekels to replace. Can't do it. You can't save yourself with damaging one else. So what should you do? We may say nefesh, you should die. So the Rishonim explained straight away that David's shayla wasn't whether it was permitted to do. Rather, his shayla was, do I have to pay? That means it was clear to David that in order to save himself, to save his soldiers, to save Klal Yisrael, you can kill the plishtim along with all the damage that gets along the way. The question merely is do you have to reimburse for that damage that gets caused? Do you have to compensate for the damage? So also l'hatzel atzmei b'maman chaveiroi, that it's forbidden to save yourself with another's money, is a slightly misleading term. Rather, it means that you cannot do it without paying. With paying, you're allowed to do it. You can't do it without paying. So, back to our shayla. If a person is having a battle with a terrorist, and he fires and he breaks the window and kills a terrorist, so seemingly he should have to pay for the window. There's another important Gemara, which is later on Baba Kama. And the Gemara says like this. It's Kufi Zayinam at Basin Baba Kama. Rabbi Lataime. Rabbi was a discussion among Abaye and Rabbi. There's a discussion among Abaye and Rabbi about certain halacha. And Rabbi Paskin the halacha, there was a story that there was a ferry going across, and someone loaded a donkey onto a ferry, and the ferry was in danger of capsizing because the donkey was too heavy. So Reuven's donkey was endangering everyone else. So Shimon went along and he threw the donkey overboard and everyone survived. So they came back to the shore, and the question arose whether Reuven has to pay for Shimon's donkey. Reuven killed Shimon's donkey. It's true that he saved everyone's life in the process, but nevertheless he inflicted damage upon Shimon by killing his donkey. So should he have to pay? And Rabbi said no, he doesn't have to, because the donkey is a roedef. The donkey is pursuing everyone on the boat by trying to kill them, and you can kill a roedef. Not just kill a roedef, because Avad, you can kill the donkey with you as assets, but he doesn't have to pay either. The Omar Rabbi says, roedef shoya roedef achaveir chaveir l'horgo. And let's put the names here so we don't get confused. Reuven was chasing Shimon to kill him. Veshibres akelim, and vessels got broken. That means the roedef, Reuven, was chasing, broke some vessels. Bein shel nirdaf. Whether it was Shimon's vessels, Bein shel kol Odom, whether it was anyone else's vessels, Potter. Why? Sharim is chayev benafshoy. He's chayev benafshoy, i.e., the roedef is under death sentence. And we have a rule that anyone who's under a death sentence, he does the kamenei v'derabimenei, he gets the most severe punishment.
It must be at the same time, though.
Huh?
It must be at the same time. Shas, he kills somebody and he ruins his shirt, doubles his foot.
Oh, but the chiddush of here by roedef is that every second he's chayev misa. Every second that Reuven's chasing Shimon, he is. You can kill him now, even before he kills Shimon. To stop Reuven killing Shimon, you're allowed to kill Reuven. It's a special halacha, a pursuer, someone who's trying to kill someone else. You can kill them, and you can kill them without a din Torah. You don't have to ask any shaylas. If you ask shaylas, you're chayav misa, maybe not chayav misa, but midei shemaim. You kill a person, Reuven's chasing Shimon. You go and kill Reuven. If you can save him, Echab Ne'evar, if you can shoot out his legs, it's better. But if you can't, you can kill him. So Reuven is under a death sentence. So if Reuven's under a death sentence, any other damage that he causes, he's exempt. Whether he's going to damage the vessels of the Nedaf, of Shimon who's trying to kill, whether he's going to daven Levi's. It doesn't matter, because he's always under a death sentence. That's Reuven. Why? It's not worth, it's a different svara maybe, it's not worth his money, sorry, Where's the line? The nirdaf sheshiber esakelim shel roidef potur. The nirdaf who destroys the vessels of the roidef. That means Shimon on his way, he's running away from Reuven, and he sees Reuven's, I don't know what, his expensive thing, his Ming vase. So he takes the Ming vase and he throws it at Reuven, and it breaks. So Reuven says, hey, you broke my Ming vase, you have to pay me. The answer is, he's not. Reuven's money cannot be worse than his body. Just like his body, you're allowed to damage and kill him, his nefesh. So his objects that belong to him, all his possessions are the same. Okay, next one. Avol shel kol adam chayev. If the nirdaf, if Shimon takes my vase and throws it at Reuven, Shimon has to pay me. Shimon's trying to save his own life. He's in danger of death. Yes, also lahatzal atzmei b'mon chaveru. Shimon has to compensate for any damage that he does to anyone else while in the process of saving his own life. V'roidev shayaroidev acharoidev lahatzil. I.e., Levi got involved in the story. Reuven's chasing Shimon to kill him. Levi's chasing Reuven to kill Reuven. V'shavar keli menshel nirdaf menshel kol adam. And either he takes Shimon's vase or Yehuda's vase, or any of the case, he takes anyone else's objects and he uses that to save the life, then he's potter. Why? Because Chazal were worried that if Yehuda's coming along to save Reuven, and he sees this expensive vase, and he thinks, I don't want to pay $10,000 or $1 million, whatever it is, for this, if I try to save Shimon, let me look for something cheaper. In the meantime, Reuven can kill Shimon. So Chazal made a takona that a person who is Oisek Bahatzola is always potter. This doesn't apply to the person himself who's in danger, because the person who himself is in danger will do anything to save his life, including paying money. So again, Reuven's chasing Shimon. Shimon breaks Kalim. If it belongs to the Reuven, it's potter. If it belongs to anyone else, he's chayev. Levi's trying to save, and Levi breaks Kalim on the way. He's always potter. Okay, let's go back to our stories. Let's plug it back into our stories. So, you have some terrorists hiding in a house, and they're firing on Jewish soldiers. So the Jewish soldiers call it an airstrike, right? So a drone drops a bomb on the house, kills them all. Chayev a potter. Again, this is all in theory. It's potter. Why? Because the drone operator, the person who's sitting in Tel Aviv piloting the drone, is not in any danger. So if he's not in any danger, there's the takon of Chazal applies. The soldiers who are fighting there on the ground, if they blow up the house, they would technically be chayev. I'm saying that's where it gets sticky. The points of are they soldiers of a melech? Is the melech potter? Is there din malchus? Is there a melech hamashal mitzvah? That's why I'm saying if we focus on just on this point, I want to avoid all the complications. If we focus just on this point, that technically you could say that the soldier is firing on the house, barring any other incidents involved, and he should be technically chayef. That's one shayla that you could analyze. Okay, let's skip to another interesting story. That's one shayla that arose, and one that could arise. It's an interesting difference of approach. Let's talk about a different interesting shayla. And this is a ma'aseh shehoya, mamash a ma'aseh shehoya. This question got asked to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. So there was a unit that went into war, and every unit that goes into battle, they have either a doctor with them, or a chovesh karvi, it's called a medic. Well, they have both. Very often they have both. So you've got a doctor and a medic together with you. Now, what happened was that one of the soldiers unfortunately got injured, and he got severely injured. He had to undergo an emergency, he had to have emergency surgery under fire. And he was on life support. There was a doctor, and there was a doctor with a unit. Now, the shayla got asked, that they called in an airlift to take this, to evacuate this soldier. So the question arises like this. The doctor is there, or the medic is there, in order to, if there's any injuries that arrives on the battlefield, to quickly stabilize the patient, to save their lives. On the other hand, this soldier who got injured and was on life support, he needed to have a medic with him, or a doctor with him, technically, the whole time. Otherwise, he was literally in danger of death. So the question arose, what should the doctor do? They were in the middle of a battle. And one soldier was being evacuated. Should the doctor go with the soldier who's being evacuated, ensuring that he stays alive, or should he stay with the unit? Huh? Oh. One's now, one's later, right? So go on. His job is to save lives. So you're meaning that he should stay with the unit, because he's meshubet to the unit. because his job is to save lives. But on the other hand, there's a big problem here. That can you imagine sending in a unit without a doctor to battle? What's going to happen to the unit? The unit's not going to fight with all his koyach.
You should have had more than one doctor.
It's the doctor speaking. So the truth is that general procedure among Israeli army units, if I understand correctly, is that there's a doctor and a chovesh kravi and an army medic together. They're always with each unit. But let's analyze the different stodim. Everyone's at different svaras of why you should go to the patient. They're all more or less going around the same svara. One said you must shubit the patient to save life. Another one said there's b'kuch nefesh now. Someone else mentioned here bori v'shemo, which means that there's a definite danger to the soldier and an esophic danger to the rest of the unit. How much of a sophic danger is there to the rest of the unit? In the middle of a pitched battle, it's pretty high. I'm saying the chances of injuries are pretty high, no? L'chaira. Maybe not. Generally, I would assume that in the middle of a pitched battle, the chances of injury are pretty high. So, these two svaras are always going to play out against each other. Then, on the other hand, definite and immediate pikuach nefesh always takes precedence. But on the other hand, perhaps we can view the second one as almost an immediate pikuach nefesh. Okay, now let's analyze something else. The patient on life support, the person who was more experienced, the medical official who was more experienced about keeping this patient on life support was the doctor. So who should we send with the patient? Should we send the doctor with the patient and leave the medic with the unit? Or should we send the medic with the unit and leave the medic with the patient and leave the doctor with the unit? On the one hand, the medic will probably manage with the patient. Yeah, the doctor for sure is better with the patient. On the other hand, perhaps the doctor is more needed, as it were, on the battlefield. So this question got asked to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, La'achar HaMaisa. And he said, definitely, if you're talking about where there's only one medical official with the unit, i.e. a chovesh kravi or a doctor, then for sure he has to go with the patient. Why? Because the patient is in immediate death, like we said. So you have to save him. The question arises, what happens when you've got two? The chovesh kravi can manage to keep the patient on life support. It's just that the doctor is probably better. On the other hand, the soldiers want the doctor with them because they'll be fight much more with the morale of the soldiers will be much higher and much stronger with the doctor with them. So, very good, no? Keeps it. Correct. So who's Muchsuk? He's muchzik on the doctor. That's an interesting approach. Let me ask you. That's a very, very interesting kind of comparison. But I'm not sure if it's 100% comparison. I think it'd be more comparable to the case if you've got two people walking on the in the desert, and one's got a bottle of regular sweet water, and one's got a bottle of bitter water. They both will save their life. Most likelihood, the one is more experienced. The one is better at doing it. The doctor's better at keeping the patient on life support. On the other hand, the doctor is employed for the other soldiers as well. So Yitzchak Zilberstein's maskana was definitely if there's only one medical official, he should definitely go with the patient on the airlift. And if there's two, then the chovesh kravi should go with the patient. The doctor should stay with this. As an interesting aside, this was all after the fact. So he asked the doctor who was with the units came to ask Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein the shaila. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein asked the doctor, "But what did you do?" Yeah, this was a few weeks later. What did you do? So the doctor said, "I wasn't sure what to do. I wasn't sure, and I davened. I davened for siyat d'shmaya that Hashem should do the right thing." So the helicopter that came to evacuate the patient was big enough to evacuate the whole unit. So there's no shaila. Right. Next. That's a siyat d'shmaya, someone is in a tzara. Okay. This is the next shaila is a painful shaila, and hopefully we'll get through it. A painful shaila. There's a terrorist is holding a human shield, and he's firing on soldiers. What can the soldiers do? Can they blow up the house and risk killing this yid, or do they not have to do anything because they're going to kill the yid? The Gemara in Pesachim says famously the story that someone approached Rava and told him that the commander of the city or the ruler of the city had told him, "You go kill someone, and if you don't kill Pliny, I'll kill you." So the person asked Rava, "What should I do?" So, excuse me. So he said, you can't do anything. Why? Because my chos is the dom adidach somek tfei. Who said that your blood is redder than the other soldiers? The other persons. Meaning that, as Rashi explains, it's a toss-up. Either way, some a yid's going to die. So who's to decide which yid is more valuable? So in Hashem's eyes, either way this yid is going to die, and Hashem has to decide who's going to die. You can't make the decision that I'm more important than Yena. That's one option. Nevertheless, if you've got a toss-up between one soldier and another yid who's being held hostage, so the goy is firing at the yid, the guy is firing at the soldier, he's putting the soldier's life in danger, and the only way to save himself is to put another yid's life in danger. So maybe not. And what happens if he's firing rockets at many cities? He's firing many, many rockets with a human shield, and he's killing, endangering many people. Would it make a difference or not? So there's an interesting chasanish. There's a famous, it's the famous philosophical dilemma called the trolley dilemma. The trolley question. You've got a trolley, which is a street trolley, yeah, a tram, which has gone out of control. And it's flying towards a crowd of people. And the crowd of people, there's going to be many casualties. And there's a switching point on the tracks. And you can switch the point on the tracks, and that will divert the tram away from the crowd of people. But there's someone standing on the tracks, one person standing on the other, divert the tracks, and he'll get killed. Yeah, the philosopher, it's a trolley dilemma. What should you do? Should you do nothing and the trolley will kill a crowd of people? Or should you divert the trolley and one person will die? So the Chazon Ish has an interesting approach to this question. The Chazon Ish says that when we're talking about a Maisa Hatzola, you don't reckon with, as it were, the secondary consequences. When you switch the points in the track, what are you trying to do? You're trying to save a crowd of people. What's the consequences of that act? Someone may die. You're not trying to kill that person, the secondary person. You're trying to save a crowd of people. Saving a crowd of people is a Maisa Hatzola. You're allowed to do it. That's the Chazon Ish's approach. But you can't, for instance, throw someone in front of the train to stop it. That's a direct action of killing. Also, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that if a goyim came to the group of Yidden, and they said, "Tnu lanu echad mikem, give us one of you, otherwise we'll kill you all. I give us one of you to kill, or we'll kill you all." The halacha is stand back, and you have to let them kill them all. But the shaila over here is, it could be different over here because it's halacha of, because it's a situation of war. Now, can you differentiate between a situation of war and a regular situation? This was someone mentioned, you mentioned this earlier in relation to the first question. So, there's many sources in the Torah that the halachas of war are different. One of the first sources is, let's go chronologically through the pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, Aches miyad ishochi v'droishas nefesh adam. Pasuk in Noach, right? I will demand the one person's brother from his friend. So the Netziv says pshat is that a person is punished for taking his friend's blood when it's in a brotherly fashion. Miyad ish ochiv. When you're in a situation of achvo, of brotherhood, i.e. peacetime, and you go and someone takes another's blood, then it will be demanded from the person. But if in a situation of war, and a person kills another in a situation of war, then he's not going to be held to the same task as if he would be if he killed the person outright. The melech, a king, has rishus to go to war. It's one of his rights. It's one of his halachas. He has to do it with a certain process. But what's going to happen when he goes to war? So I think it was Yoav, said to Tovit, Kohen over Kohen toichal acheref. When you're in a situation of war, soldiers get killed. And the melech is allowed to go to war, and he's endangering soldiers' lives. So why is it mutter? There's also a minchas chinuch. It's a very interesting halacha. The halacha is that you have to, that all the shiva amim, you have to wipe them out. So the minchas chinuch, and the chinuch says this applies to all people of all types. The chinuch asks the question, how do you wipe out the seven nations? How do you do it? You have a war. What's going to happen in a war? People are going to die. Says the chinuch, I didn't know that you mechuyav to be moiser nefesh to go to war. All mitzvahs are pushed away in front of sakana. So why is the milchama of shiva amim not a push away in front of sakana? You're going to die. Not you personally, but one of the soldiers will definitely die. So why is it permitted to go to war? That's a Minchas Chinuch question, and he blives Tzorchin, remains Tzorchin. So the Briskerov, in the end of actually Parshas Tolos, after Parshas Tolos, I think it is, Al-Atoira, he says, no, that's a din milchoma. There's a halacha of milchoma that you can go to war. The king's allowed to go to war, even though he's putting people in danger. So Memela, this could be extended to the case of of Nebuchadnezzar, a Jewish hostage. If it's in a situation of a war, where you have to fight a battle, and it's a battle between terrorists and Yidden, and you have to save Kelal Yisrael, you have to save Bnei Yisrael, so you can the hostage will be a tragic korban, but for the soldiers firing upon it, where he's Oisek in Atzolah, and he's Oisek in Milchama, for sure he's not going to be held to task for it. There's a lot more to talk about, but we're not going to manage in the last two minutes to finish. So just the Mitzvah Hashem that v'schus HaTorah v'schus Tefillah that we should all have Shalom.